entitled my message this week, Thinking Outside the Box. Well, I remember years ago when we'd get together and we would try to plan things to improve membership and attendance and all of that, and somebody said, well, you know, if we're going to do the same old thing over and over again, we're not going to get anywhere. We need to think out of the box. Well, I kind of remember that. But my question is this. Are we half full persons? Are we a half glass empty person? Are you pessimistic or are you an optimist? Do you look at your life and the world with resignation and see hopeless problems everywhere that you look? Or do you look at your life and the world with rose-colored glasses, as they say, refusing to acknowledge any problems at all so that you can maintain your feelings and contentment and happiness? Well, whether we resign ourselves to the situations we find ourselves in or spend the bulk of our time just managing life, both leaves us with a closed system outlook. But reveal a status quo kind of thinking, either spiritually or in business or with these self-help gurus or influencers as they talk about. There's a gentleman by the name of Jay Shetty says, our outlook on life doesn't need to be black or white. You know, or that predictable, in fact, is what he's saying. He says, in fact, we got a third option. It's the possibility mindset. Jumping off of ideas from the possibility thinking part of culture, first popular in the 1990s. Shetty says the mind open to a multitude of possibilities acknowledges problems and negativities, but rather than resigning to them or ignoring them, instead it's a myriad of possible outcomes and scenarios. Now we might simply call it cultivating an open mind. You know, we had a little thing going on in open minds, open doors, open hearts. Well, that's something like thinking out of the box. You know, thinking out of the box means that we first have to identify our box and then break it open and then step outside of it in order to get different perspectives on life and the world. It sounds very simple in theory, but not so much in real practice for most of us. And you wonder why. Well, I think it's our acquisition or our achievement mindsets or keeping us conveniently locked up in a multitude of boxes. Are they hard to break out of? You know, I think all of us have around a 12-inch ruler. I'm holding up a 12-inch ruler now, just looking at it, and I'm thinking about this 12-inch ruler, and it's... Well, we all know it's used for one thing. It measures things, and it tells us how large something is. Of course, you got to have a 6-foot ruler if you're going to measure big things, but it tells us how much we're falling short or how far we need to go. You know, you can always cut some off, but it's hard to add things when you're cutting things off. You can't add, but you can always make it shorter. But anyhow, if you ever went to a carnival, you have to be this high. You know, they have those things at the entrance. You've got to be this high to come in or one of the rides. So, you know, rulers are, in a sense, the way we see and measure the world, isn't it? So think about that. We measure other things, too. We measure time. We measure distance. We measure humidity. We measure the clouds. We measure when we bake, thank goodness, because it would be awful if we didn't measure things, the ingredients. We measure our progress with our grades. We measure our mileage. We measure our success with salaries and the size of our homes. Isn't it any wonder then that when it comes to our faith, we find it hard to break out of acquisition and achievement? Or is that just a mindset? Well, this is what Jesus, once again, challenges his disciples and followers to do. Jesus encountered that which we read today in the scripture. We see a man running up to him and asking, hey, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Don't you just love sentences like that? They're filled with clues and also bad theology. Theology simply means thoughts about God. And there is good thoughts about God, but then we have some other kind of thoughts, like bad theology. But they sort of set up Jesus perfectly for his teaching moments. You know what I'm talking about? Well, let's look. Jesus is on the move, and he challenges every part of the man's sentence with excellent reply. First, he said, why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. Now, the man had already revealed his acquisition achievement mindset in that very first sentence, don't you think? How can I attain your level of good? And what he wants to know is, how can I achieve your status that guarantees me eternal life? Well, the man sees being good as his ultimate goal, and if he can only reach a certain level of goodness, then he will have it in the box, pun intended. Well, Jesus points out immediately the fallacy. He said, no one is good, only God is good. So, he moved that goal or endpoint right away from the manner of thinking. This is, of course, confuses the guy right away. Taking away his end goal of good means he has no idea what the goal is or how to get there. Now, that revealed his next fallacy. He said, what must I do? Well, if you aren't smiling and shaking your head, you totally missed this one. Total acquisition and achievement giveaway statement. What must I do? Well, that statement alone puts all the power and responsibility for achieving a certain level of good in the hands of the man. Listen, you didn't need God in your life. If you can accomplish everything good all on your own, then secondly, it's pretty arrogant and exhausting sounding to think that if only we do more and more better and better, we'll eventually ring the ding, 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 hit the jackpot type of things, and we will have inheritance. God, inheritance of eternal life, of course. So what must he do, this guy? Well, Jesus plays along, and instead of simply pointing out the fallacy of his statement, as he typically does, he seizes the teaching moment. You know, Jesus is the best teacher in the whole world for all those around him, and he issues a challenge instead. Now, hopefully to show this guy how pointless and impossible of his own efforts would be as a matter of achieving God's favor, Jesus said, okay, I'll play. So he said, do you know the commandments? Well, caught up in his achievement mindset, the man replied, oh yeah, I've kept every one of those. The Jesus replied, you lack one thing. The guy kind of looks at him. Jesus says, sell what you own and give the money to the poor, and you will have a treasure in heaven, and then come and follow me. Now, this guy was shocked, and he went away grieving at his loss. He was resigned to failure because he felt he could not reach that good gold. But I want us to hear something else. After the man's reply that he kept all his commandments, the writer of Mark's Gospel, Jesus looked at him and loved him. And then he replied as he did. Now, Jesus is not annoyed with the guy. He feels compassion for the guy who is so trapped within his own achievement and acquisition mindset that he cannot see the truth that God's gift for him is free. And all he needs is faith. For God desires not our perfection, but our relationship, our attention, our loyalty, our reverence, and our presence, and most of all, our reliance and our trust. Trust and obey, for there's no other way, so why do we make it hard? Of course, as Jesus' disciples don't get it either, they are still focusing on the question of wealth. Jesus is focusing on the question of faith. And then Jesus goes on to say, you know, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter into the kingdom of God. Well, in other words, nobody can accomplish enough of goodness in order to achieve God's inheritance of eternal life. No human being will ever even come close to God's level of goodness because it is not possible. Well, the disciples were stunned too. Well, the disciples then said, hey, then who can be saved? And Jesus agreed. He said, for mortals, it's impossible. Do you ever see those commercials where somebody's walking up with a microphone and it doesn't make in their point, they just stand there and drop the mic? I often wonder why they do. It seems kind of silly, but the point is that, well, okay, this is a mic drop type of thing, and if it wasn't for God, but with God, all things are possible. Blump. Ding, ding, ding. The bell rings. In other words, no amount of achievement or acquisition will ever help us to measure up to deserving God's grace. So, that ruler that I have here, you can just throw it away. You don't need it when it comes to God. This is the entire point of the presence of Jesus here on this earth and his sacrifice, his resurrection. It's God's gift of life. It's a gift. It's grace. It was never about measuring up at all. It's not about our goodness, but about the possibilities that revealed himself through putting faith in God's goodness. Does that mean we shouldn't strive to do good things? That's a tricky thing, isn't it, when you think about it? Isn't it? For it's all about relationships. It's not so much about doing, but it's about being in love with God. And when we love God and love each other, the possibilities of the kingdom becomes endless. The heavens opens up right before our eyes, for with God anything is possible, even breaking out of our box. Thinking out of the box, yeah, that's good, but then we need to break out of the box too, don't we? And there's a reason Jesus is called our liberator. So as disciples of Christ, to cultivate the possibility mindset is simply to see the endless possibilities that we have for success. But to see the endless possibilities for life and the world that comes from the goodness and the grace of God. It's not a weight off of our shoulders. I don't know what it is. But think about that. That's good news. Your inheritance was never up to you to achieve. I think your inheritance was sealed for you by the time you came into this world. Because as we come into this world, unless Christ comes for us first, we're all going to go out of this world. So we had the inheritance from the beginning. But it's a gift of faith that we have to receive. For Jesus, you don't need to be a super successful, high-level achiever, rich or poor, definitely not perfect. But the greatest potential as a servant of God lies first in being a humble receiver. Humble thyself in the sight of the Lord. And what will he do? He will lift you up higher and higher and higher into the heavenly realm. So my prayer for all of us as you receive Christ in your heart, and it's a simple prayer for simple people. Father, I know I'm a sinner. I know I need forgiveness. I know I need grace. Forgive me. I want to have a relationship with you. I want to learn more about you so that I can go through this life and doing the very best that I can. Because of the grace of God, I have unlimited possibilities. I like that song, one of the songs, I Am a Possibility. It was a little kid's song, and it was really cool. So, with that, just focus on the things of God. Think out of the box. Yeah, you can. But think about Christ, and you don't have to be in a box, because he is broken the box, because all things are possible with God. Amen. Accept him in your life and you'll see what I'm talking about. And if you've already done it, then you know what I'm talking about. The goodness and the love of God through his Son, Jesus Christ.